Give me liberty
or give me death.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
Well, he arrived on horseback at the polling place today, Roy Moore, in the Alabama special election for Senate. And here's just a compilation Darren McBreen put together showing all the crazy fake news that has been going around this very important Senate race. Here it is.
It sickens me to wonder what may go on with him if he gets into office, maybe, you know. He could be doing this still. We don't know.
She was 16 when she says Moore groped her and tried to force a sex act on her in his car.
He was trying to pull me toward in between his legs. It was terrible. And I was bound and determined that I was not going to be raped by him.
These allegations are completely false. They're malicious. Specifically, I do not know any of these women, nor have I ever engaged in sexual misconduct with any woman.
I was terrified. But the next thing I know, I'm on the concrete.
Young's proof that she knew Moore, her yearbook with this inscription.
She was a 16-year-old waitress in Gadsden, Alabama, when Roy Moore, who was then the local district attorney, didn't just hit on her or ask her out. She says he assaulted her violently in his car, that he tried to force her into sexual activity, and that he threw her out of his vehicle when she did not accede to it. And she is also, importantly, volunteering to testify about her experiences under oath.
This latest news about you is concerning. Voters in Alabama will never elect someone who's had relations with a minor.
You sure about that?
No.
But the president is standing by his man for a simple reason.
We don't want to have a liberal Democrat in Alabama, believe me. We want strong borders. We want stopping crime.
Yes, we want stopping crime. We just not want stopping sexual assault.
Don't get it twisted. Women are not playing with you here.
That is about Roy Moore.
We're talking about child molestation.
Yeah,
how do you put the party before children and the assault on children?
We got a hoo-ha grabber in chief in the Oval Office. That's how you do it. This is a playbook. This is right out of Donald Trump's campaign playbook.
This woman found a note in her scrapbook signed by Moore that says, "Happy graduation, Debbie. I wanted to give you this card myself. I know that you'll be a success in anything you do, unless that thing is accusing me of writing you this card."
And she is also, importantly, volunteering to testify about her experiences under oath.
God knows, and Roy knows, and I know what happened.
The Democrats are making themselves into the party of family values, while the Republicans are now the party of people like Roy Moore, who are alleged to have molested 14 and 16-year-old girls. Which is the more long-lasting and appealing political brand? I don't even think there's a contest.
Come on. The left-wing media loves to repeat these sexual harassment stories. There's a new one every day, Mike.
There are moments in the past half century when, as Americans, we've been forced to re-examine our attitudes and ourselves. Vietnam, civil rights, gay rights. In politics, we're now facing the crucible of sexual harassment. Our revulsion at what we've learned and our uncertainty of what to do about it going forward. Is it time to demand the resignation of all politicians accused of harassment? Is it better to support an accused child molester of your own party than to have the other party win an election?
The revolt against sexual harassment and assault may in part be a backlash after Donald Trump's 2016 victory, when millions of voters overlooked more than a dozen allegations of sexual misconduct and put Mr. Trump in the White House.
This is a Fox 10 News alert.
And welcome here to News Now. We start you out with a bombshell of new information with the Roy Moore saga here. The Roy Moore accuser now admitting that she forged part of the yearbook inscription attributed to the Alabama Senate candidate.
Now she's admitted that at least part of what she presented to everybody was a fake. It was a forgery.
Now and we're going to have more tonight. Join us for our special election coverage at 6 p.m. Central. Infowars.com.
Let's make talk radio great again.
This is the War Room.
Don't you dare. Don't you tread on me. Don't you.
live here at the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. You can join us here every day, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. This is the third installment of our everyday lineup that is 10 hours long now. Thanks to you out there for going to Infowars.com, spreading the word, spreading the articles, going to Infowarsstore.com, checking out some of the great products we have. We have some great sales I'm going to get to later. I think over 50 items that are 50% off. And there's the show page for the free stream, Infowars.com/show. Now, Roy Moore went into a polling station today at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time in this special election. This is to fill the seat left vacant by Jeff Sessions. I know some people are saying send Sessions back. And so we could forget this because this has turned into a circus. One thing I do want to add that was not in these interesting news bits was that the lady there accusing Roy Moore of signing her yearbook, Roy was the judge in her, the judge proceeding in her divorce a few years ago. And the initials DA, which everybody's saying stand for district attorney, at the time of the divorce, his clerk had the initials DA. So she put DA there thinking everybody would think he, when he was district attorney, but it was actually, if you were to do that, because when he signs a document, then the clerk has to initial it. So it's a check and balance. Didn't hear about that, did you? No, you just heard that Roy Moore was going after 16-year-old waitresses. And here's the tweet from Trump. The people of Alabama will do the right thing. Doug Jones is pro-abortion, weak on crime, military, and illegal immigration. Bad for gun owners, veterans, and against the wall. Jones is a Pelosi-Schumer puppet. Roy Moore will always vote with us. Vote Roy Moore. So there it is right there from Donald Trump. So we'll see if he can continue his streak of special elections. I know that everybody was saying, oh, Virginia, he lost Virginia. Well, he didn't even support the candidate in Virginia. He was kind of stepping back because I think that candidate was a puppet. We've got Jeff Flake bowing out. We've got other senators bowing out. Hopefully McCain will bow out. So it's looking like there could be a really big realignment, and it can all start tonight with Roy Moore when we hear the results. And don't forget, we're going to be having our special election coverage of the Alabama Senate race, Roy Moore versus Doug Jones. And Alex Jones will be hosting this. In fact, he called me up this morning and left me a little voicemail that says, I want to put this on tonight. That's the wrong graphic, guys. Put up the Alabama Senate race special election. There you go. That'll be today, December 12th. We're going to start about 6 running some reports. Alex will probably jump in the chair about 6:30. Once again, the free streams will be at Infowars.com/show. We also have an article about this on Infowars.com that you can send out to everybody you know. Tonight's special election coverage of Alabama Senate election. Trump-backed Republican Roy Moore takes on deep state candidate Doug Jones. And you just look at that graphic to the right of Doug Jones's face, man. That guy is squirrely looking. Squirrely looking. And I try not to judge a book by its cover, but when you're standing next to Hillary Clinton, I don't know how you can be judged. Now, let me get into what we're going to be covering today. Roger Stone's going to be coming up in the second hour. And I haven't even talked to him, so I don't know what he's going to be covering. Next segment, I want to go over this New York Times article that was written about Trump, how he drinks all these Diet Cokes and does all this stuff. Trump came out and said it was fake news. One of our producers here, Harrison Smith, went out and crossed out the lines where it's stuff that was alleged and is going to read this article how it should have been written without all the allegedness and the sources that we've learned from time and time again from people like Brian Stelter, that they really don't have reliable sources. Also going to play part of the trailer from Homeland Season 7. It seems like the Alex Jones character is now going to try and assassinate the president. So we'll be getting into that. Also, we're going to have Jake Lloyd here, one of our reporters, to talk about going down to the Capitol today to try and talk to some of the Texas representatives and senators about their involvements with the Gulen Network. And it'll be interesting to see what happened there. We're going to get into some AI news, which I'll probably get to in a second. We have an article from Mikhail Thalen that went on Drudge Report, which I'll get into later. Leak reveals companies who used private spies against the public. And this kind of dovetails in, sort of, is a spy article with, I'm going to have Jerome Corsi on in the last hour, bombshell evidence of CIA role in forging Obama's birth certificate. And then my final guest of the show will be Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who we've not had on in a while. And she is a pro-parent informed vaccine person. And I would say she's definitely against forced vaccinations in all forms. And is one of the good people out there who actually reads the inserts of what they're trying to pump into your little kids. In fact, we had a developer in here today who came up and shook my hand. He goes, you know, because of you, I'm not vaccinating my kids. And, you know, I was kind of blown away by that. I've never really met somebody in person, well, besides from people working here in the office that have said that to me upon first meeting them. And I really think it is an education issue. And I am very against what they're trying to push through needles into the veins and body tissue of our precious, precious babies. And I am definitely against what they're trying to push on us. I'm also going to bring up with her, now there's the 81st doctor found dead. There's a website run by Aaron Elizabeth. I think it's called Health Nut News. And since 2015, a bunch of doctors, holistic health practitioners, have been dropping dead. This one happened to have a knife in his torso, which of course immediately was ruled a suicide. So I'm going to get Sherry Tenpenny's take on that. But let's get into a couple articles. We have a few minutes left. It's official. Bitcoin surpasses Tulip Mania. Now, a lot of you weren't around when Tulip Mania hit. It was back in 1619 to 1622. And that was the 17th century when the price of tulips was going up and up and up and up. And then, of course, it had a crash. So 1 month ago, a chart from Convoy Investments went viral showing that among the world's most famous asset bubbles, Bitcoin was only lagging behind the infamous 17th century Tulip Mania. 1 month later, the price of Bitcoin has exploded even higher. So it's time to refresh the chart. And look, it has jumped past Tulip Mania. Go to the second chart, guys. The price has gone up 17 times this year, 64 times over the last 3 years. That superseded the Dutch tulips climb over the same time frame. So, of course, Bitcoin can now be at 40,000 by the end of 2018, said a host at CNBC's Fast Money. And Ethereum, which I think just touched 500, is getting close, could be triple where it is as well. So Ethereum is another one of these cryptocurrencies. So you can see these different bubbles. They have the Tulip Mania bubble, the Bitcoin bubble today, the Mississippi bubble, the South Sea bubble, U.S. stocks leading into the Great Depression, then Japanese real estate, Japanese stocks, which tanked in the 90s, which kind of had that lost decade for Japan, which kind of rolled into their real estate crash as well. The tech bubble, 94 to 2002. I remember that one. That was a great time up until 2002. The U.S. real estate bubble, U.S. stocks, 2003 to 2009. We had the big crash there. Chinese stocks, 2005, 2008. Oil, 2005, 2008. Chinese stocks, and then U.S. stocks, which is riding a bubble from 2009 to today. So those are your big bubbles. There's a great film by, he's now deceased filmmaker. I can't believe I can't remember his name right now, but he did Life at the Edge of a Bubble, and he talks about the tulip bubble. And unfortunately, I think we sell it, or we used to sell his DVD here. But it's a very interesting look at all the different bubbles that have happened through the years. So stay tuned. We're going to have much more coming up, and I want to get into this article too. Minority Report: artificial intelligence machine can identify 2 billion people in seconds. All right? It is here, and it's going to be watching everything we do. What do you think they've been putting in all those cameras and all those server farms and all those algorithms through Facebook and everything else? They want to track everything you do so they can monitor what you do, so they can stop you doing things they don't want you to do. We'll be right back after this. You're watching The War Room. Thanks for watching. Infowars.com/show is the free stream that you need to spread right now to all your friends and family. How music can trigger memories. So just hearing this is from the Nutcracker, I believe. I remember watching several different versions of this throughout the years. But hearing that music really just brought back a bunch of, like, I shot back as a, like, 8-year-old watching this in a theater one time. Amazing how Christmas can do that. And Christmas songs. Wow, that was intense. You're watching The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Due. Thanks for joining us here. You can follow us live on radio stations out there and also on video at Infowars.com/show. Let me get right into it. This is from The Sun. Minority Report, artificial intelligence can identify 2 billion people in seconds. Yitu Technology has made an AI algorithm that can connect millions of surveillance cameras and instantly recognize people. They developed a software called Dragonfly Eye, which, if you know anything about dragonflies, they have thousands of eyes, logged into the country's national database. It has a collection of 1.8 billion photos on file, including visitors to the country and those pictures taken at ports and airports. And why is this interesting? Well, believe me, it's going to be coming here. It was reported on the first day Dragonfly Eye was in operation in Shanghai's metro. It was able to track a man wanted by the cops and sent police to his exact location. A further 567 suspected criminals were nabbed on the city's subway system. So, and that's a city of Shanghai of 24 million people. Imagine what it could do here. Imagine if you have a parking ticket that you haven't paid. Imagine if you owe money to someone who's friends with the government. Imagine if you say something somebody doesn't like and they call you a Nazi. Do you go in on that database? Well, we'll see. All part of the brave new world we're entering. Now let's get to this article. Inside Trump's hour by hour battle for self-preservation. It's from the New York Times. Harrison Smith, one of our editor producers, has basically cut out all the stuff that was that came from sources, reliable sources, as Brian Stelter would say. And it says the article makes Trump look like a total badass. So go ahead, Harrison, take it away.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this article came out, I believe, on Saturday. It's gotten a lot of traction since then. Trump has tweeted about it. A lot of people have talked about it. Mostly what they've talked about is the minutia and the trivia, such as he drinks 12 Cokes a day, Diet Cokes a day, and he watches 8 hours of TV a day, which if you read the article, you can actually tell that that's not even true. I mean, they talk about the TV is sort of on in the background, but that's not really the important part. I read this article as sort of the opening salvo of the post-Russia collusion narrative, because as we know, this week and the last couple of weeks, so much of the core pillars of the Russia collusion narrative have been collapsing. And right. So I think now the media is re-examining the battlefield and coming at it from a different angle. And this is that angle, and that angle is insanity as far as
exactly. Well, this is part of the what some people have identified as the Trump rotation. I don't know if you listen to the No Agenda yep. show, but they have identified 7 or 8 different stories that the MSM will resurrect once the other one gets killed. So right. Now he was crazy. He's going to start a nuclear war. He grabs women. And now he's an insane person who watches TV over right. and over again. So,
right. And so now we're back to him being crazy, or at least now that's what they're right. really doubling down on. And you can really tell that's the case if you know how to read this article. Because if you just read this article at face value, it seems like it's actually pretty good proof of him maybe being crazy or maybe being insane. But it's all about these little weasel words that they use, where they say, you know, they'll say something that's true, but they'll put "he imagines" in front of it just to make it seem like this is a conspiracy that he's concocted in his head rather than the reality. And so when I went ahead and did, well, what I realized was that at least the beginning of this article, the first 2 pages is what I'll read, selections of it, is actually a really awesome story about how epic and badass Trump is being, except it's shrouded in all of these little
speculations
and weasel words and just things to make him seem crazy. And so you can actually read along. I think you have
the
same copy on your desk. And so if you want to use .cam and follow along there, I actually want people to see what I crossed out, because right. what I crossed out doesn't change really the meaning of the stuff that remains. The stuff that remains is normal. It's not, I'm not doing trickery here. I just want to show people, and actually I want people to see what I crossed out and question, now why would they put that in when they could have just phrased it a different way? So I'm going to put on my epic voice and go ahead and start reading this in the way that maybe it should have been written if they didn't just hate Trump and want to bring him down. Washington, around 5:30 each morning, President Trump wakes in the White House master bedroom. Energized, infuriated, Mr. Trump grabs his iPhone. He makes his way up the hall to the ornate treating room where he begins his official and unofficial calls. As he ends his first year in office, Mr. Trump is redefining what it means to be president. He sees the highest office in the land as a prize he must fight to protect every waking moment, and Twitter is his Excalibur. A titan dominating the world stage, a maligned outsider engaged in a struggle with advisors, associates, and members of Congress. For presidents, every day is a test of how to lead a country. For Mr. Trump, every day is an hour-by-hour battle for self-preservation. The investigation by Robert S. Mueller III, the special counsel, into Russia's interference is a plot to delegitimize him. Color-coded maps highlighting the counties he won were hung on the White House walls. Before taking office, Mr. Trump told top aides to think of each presidential day as an episode in a television show in which he vanquishes rivals. There is an effort to undermine the election, and the collusion allegations are unfounded. The liberal left and the media are out to destroy him. But the way he got here is by fighting back and counterpunching. It's that sweet spot between being a fighter and being president. Bracing and refreshing, but Mr. Trump's uninhibited approach seems erratic to many veterans of both parties in the Capitol and beyond. His approach got him to the White House, though, so it must be the right one. He dominates the landscape like no other. Mr. Trump is prevailing in his efforts to cut taxes and reverse his predecessor's health care program. He has made significant progress in his goal of rolling back business regulations. The growing economy continues to improve, and stock markets have soared to record heights. His partial travel ban has finally taken effect after multiple court fights. Mr. Trump will never change. Rather, Mr. Trump will bend the office to his will. And so you can see, and as an example of things that I cut out, it says where it says the booming economy, it says that he inherited. You know, they just sort of slip these little things in. If you just cross out that he inherited, it's, well, Mr. Trump has a booming economy. You don't need these little qualifiers and these little, subversive little notes that they put in. If you just take those out, it actually tells a really interesting story about Trump.
Well, and what's interesting is Obama inherited the economy from Bush. And then it tanked immediately after that.
I mean,
nobody was allowed to blame Obama. It was like, I inherited this from Bush. So it's this whole inherited thing. You can never do anything on your own. And Obama was in charge of the recovery, and he basically didn't put a banker in jail.
Well, and just look at what Obama was saying before the election happened. He was saying, you need a magic wand and stuff. And now it's like, that was me. It's like, no, you thought you needed a magic wand before this. You can't now take credit for it. No, it doesn't make any sense at all. And the other important thing about this is that it really blatantly lays out that McMaster's, like Roger Stone has been saying for a long time, McMaster's is seemingly in total control of everything that Trump has access to in terms of information and people and Trump's friends and all these things. They have to go through McMaster. And the way that this article portrays it is that that's the normal thing, and that it's actually troublesome that Mr. Trump is trying to.
It's good to have a gatekeeper. We need our president to have a gatekeeper.
Exactly.
Someone we can trust. Yeah, deep stater.
We need the deep state to be over the president and control him, or else who knows what crazy stuff he'll do that's, not in the interest of the people that have been there for 30 or 40
years. Totally ridiculous. Well, thank you for putting that together. That's great. We should post that. That was an excellent read. And when we come back, we're going to find out what happens when you try to go to your state capitol and ask your public servants questions.
This is the return
of the Republic.
And this is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Hello. It looks like the door's been locked.
Oh, now they locked that one. Are we capturing this?
Yep.
Okay.
She just came up, walked up and locked it.
She walked up and locked it as we were walking in here. Looks like they got word from somebody that there was a group coming in here.
So we're here to see our lieutenant governor.
And you don't want to be questioning your public servants, do you?
How dare you?
You don't want to do that. No way.
What are you reading? Looks good.
What are you reading? This is footage from today. Sybil Edmonds.
I want to make sure camera.
I wonder who's
trying to
lock the doors.
Go in and talk to the education board, right? Education.
Yeah. Well, here we were trying to talk to the lieutenant governor.
That was the lieutenant governor's office. Dan Patrick.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Who used to be a talk show host.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Asking some questions of, why do we have so many Gulen schools here in the state of Texas?
Yeah. Why do we have government subsidized schools that are influenced by a radical cleric
from Turkey?
Mm-hmm.
He's a CIA agent. All right, guys, we'll get to more of that in a second. But also, I want to give out the number now. Next segment, I want to take your calls on and get your thoughts on the Alabama Senate race. 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. If you want to talk about something else, that's cool. But I'd rather talk about the Alabama Senate race. Get your thoughts, predictions on that. Riding shotgun with me now is Jake Lloyd, one of our reporters here at Infowars.com. He was there on the steps of the Capitol. Jake, what all did you see today aside from going to Dan Patrick's locked door at the Texas Capitol?
Well, so first we showed up and Sybelle Edmonds just kind of gave a kind of laid the foundations for what we were there for to the group. There was probably about, I'd say probably 10 to 15 people that showed up at first. And then we moved on inside. We went into the lieutenant governor's office. Somebody must have radioed ahead and let them know that we were coming, because as we were walking in, I don't think it was on the camera, but we got the door locked on us as we were walking up. And then we went around to a different door to try to get in, and they wouldn't open it there either. And as we came back, Dan Patrick was in that little waiting room right there, but he scurried back into his office in the back, and they actually closed the blinds.
Citizens.
So
citizens.
They wouldn't even have to look at us. So the people he's allegedly supposed to be serving wouldn't even be able to look at him.
And Dan Patrick's not even that bad either. It's just, no. It's why just, would you not talk to people? They're not coming there with pitchforks and torches. It's just talk to people.
Just say, hey, sorry, we're busy. We can't find anything.
I'll take your information. Thanks. Thanks for some information. Oh, but by doing this, you make yourself look guilty of something.
Yeah, that definitely makes it look to be much more than just, oh, we don't want to talk to you. So we hung out there for a little while trying to get somebody to talk to us. Obviously unsuccessful there. So then we went to the Department of Education about a block or two down the street, and we tried to talk to the Commissioner of Education there, and we had to wait, I'd say probably 10 to 15 minutes for a representative to come talk to us, because they said that he was off campus. But nobody came to talk to us, so we took it upon ourselves to walk down the hall and knock on some doors, try to get somebody's attention, and his director of communications came out and talked to us and gave us a bunch of non-answers. Sybelle and the other gentleman that was there, who had a documentary on these Gulen schools, they let him know what was going on, you know, why they were there and everything. And he actually remembered them. He said that he spoke to him and everything. He said, oh, well, these schools aren't under our jurisdiction, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they said, well, who do we need to get in contact with then? And he goes, oh, well, I sent it an email. And they said, it's not in the email. They didn't tell us. So ultimately they keep getting told they need to go talk to somebody else, but everybody tells them that. So they keep getting sent around to different offices, different people, and nobody wants to schedule an appointment. The guy wouldn't even commit today to setting up an appointment with no cameras, just Sybelle Edmonds and the other gentleman. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't commit to anything. So,
and here's the thing with these schools. They bring in people from Turkey to teach at these Gulen schools.
Mm-hmm.
And they pay them a salary, and then they have to take half of their salary and give it to groups approved by the Gulen group, Turkish groups, Muslim groups, Islamist groups. And they have to take half their money, give it to them. And if they don't, they get shipped back to Turkey.
Right.
And their families are under watch back in Turkey. Yeah. So they have to do this.
And even the politicians who are getting money from this, who, you know, conveniently pass resolutions shortly thereafter to honor Gulen, they get sent over to Turkey for these lavish,
meet and greets, dinners,
meeting everybody, having these, nice dinners and everything, and then they come back, and then they pass a resolution in the House, Texas legislator to honor Gulen, say he's so good, he does so much work for the community, blah 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 blah. I mean, the man, according to Sybelle Edmonds, he has more money than George Soros, more influence too. We just don't hear about him as much because he's good at masking his intentions.
Well, he worked with the CIA. They brought him into this CIA country. They hid him out in the Poconos Mountains. He's got a compound up there.
One good point that Sybelle made was, she said, do you think the wall is going to keep out terrorists? She goes, how did Gulen get in here? He was shipped in by the CIA on a private jet. So the wall, and she went in a lot about draining the swamp. Draining the swamp ultimately is a group effort. It's not just Trump.
Right.
But also, it has to be done in other ways. It's not just build the wall and we're done, because the CIA, the deep state, are going to continue to ship in terrorists and terrorist sympathizers too.
And all the supposed hijackers, some of them were trained at U.S. Air Force bases how to fly. They were allowed to come in through Canada with these visas through our visa program. So, you could look at this. Yeah, we could build a wall. Mm-hmm. We could institute these things. But as long as deep state assets are able to circumvent the system, and we know they're in there, geez, they, you know, they barely got one guy out of Mueller's group, and he was basically sending texts saying how much he hated Trump.
Yeah.
Essentially, that's what he was doing, and he worked for he almost. It's like he worked for Hillary Clinton.
And there's this almost radio silence on it coming from the MSM. So it's, you know, the whole the entire establishment continues to prove how insidious it is day in and day out. I mean, Trump needs to do what JFK allegedly said he would do, which was shatter the or splinter the CIA into 1,000 pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Trump's doing a good job so far at discrediting the media, which is probably the first step that needs to be done.
Right.
So the narrative won't be controlled so much by them anymore.
Anything else happened today? Any other tidbits?
Not that I can really think of. That was pretty much it. It was a big nothing burger as far as the elected officials actually talking to us, as you could probably expect, sadly. But I mean, we had some good talk. If for those of you out there that want to watch the videos, they're on Facebook on the Alex Jones channel. Cervella Edmonds, you know, has some great info. Former FBI agent. She works for Newsbud.com. Very, very good stuff from her. But aside from that, they didn't want to talk to us. They didn't want to give any answers about state accountability.
And they're all collected in the article. Watch Sybil Edmonds' pro-MAGA speaker speech at Texas Capitol. Learn about the hidden power players in politics. You can check that out. I want to, maybe we'll play this one in the top of the next. We'll play the trailer top of the next clip. But this came out today. Homeland Season 7 trailer. The president must be stopped. CIA agent Claire Danes is back in Homeland's in the first trailer for Homeland Season 7. And targeting Keene, who is the new president-elect, President Keene, the show's Alex Jones-like conspiracy character, Brett O'Keefe, who's, I guess his character is, or no, his name is Brett O'Keefe, but it's played by Jake Weber, was first introduced last season. The founding forefathers foresaw the dark day when we would face a president like her, warns O'Keefe, as he aims a pistol at a poster of the president's face. Anyone who takes a stand for what they believe in, they're going to say you're crazy. Well, they've been calling me that for years. So, well, in fact, do we have that trailer ready? Why don't we play it as we're going out to break here? Let's play some of that trailer.
Under no circumstances, allow her motorcade to leave the hotel.
Almost 200 individuals are detained in the investigation surrounding the attack on President Keene 9 days before her inauguration.
It's totally harmless. Don't worry about
that. The last time they tried to overthrow the government was never. We execute people for that in this country, Mr. McClendon. I'm bringing you a federal agent to testify against the government about some of the most expensive.
Unless you're a far leftist, like the Weatherman crew. Yeah, don't worry about that.
Full disclosure, the president doesn't know I'm here.
Unless you're the Department of Education.
I'm in a federal prison, what do you think?
Nobody grows up dreaming of taking out criminals inside their own government.
You're going to have to put this behind you, Elizabeth.
Madam President.
Excuse me.
In this room, it's Madam President.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
While the merry bells keep ringing, happy holiday.
All right, we're going to go to your call shortly, 888-201-2244. But right now, let's show you the video of the Alex Jones character on Homeland taking aim at the fictional president-elect.
The Founding Fathers foresaw the dark day when we would face a president like her.
I work for the President of the United States.
Anyone who takes a stand for what they believe, people are going to say they're crazy. They've been calling me that for years.
Tell me what just happened.
How is it they tried to assassinate me and I am the one under investigation?
We have a tail.
And there it is. That's the trailer for Homeland Season 7. Now, earlier this year, when I guess Season 6 came out, we have Homeland smears Alex Jones as progenitor of fake news. Character modeled on InfoWars founder creates fake news to slander political rival in TV drama. Hmm. And also, a month before that, Homeland's Alex Jones character is a lame attempt to smear InfoWars. Radio hosts obsessively listened to by character who has gone half mad. So there's a character in here and he listens to this radio host who has a show called Alt.Truth.
I wish that it wasn't so old to talk about projection. It's like a broken record at this point, talking about the left projecting their own things onto everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
Making up fake news about the candidate they don't like.
And then having this guy who's a fake talk show host playing the part of, you know, an Alex Jones character, mm-hmm. I guess an Alex Jones type character, and then firing at postered images of the president, which mm-hmm. if you did that in real life, that would be considered an attack on the president's life. Unless you're Snoop Dogg,
right,
and you want to dress up the president as a clown and aim a gun at his head.
Yeah.
You go bang. Then it's okay.
Because white privilege.
Right.
You got to balance things out.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a guy arrested in like 2010 or 11. Do you remember that guy? He had a bumper sticker that, I think it was a bumper sticker. It had some anti-Obama message. It wasn't like a threat on his life or anything, but the Secret Service showed up at his house, or the FBI or somebody. I don't remember. It was a long time ago, but he said something about derogatory about Obama. And he had to go through the whole legal thing of making sure he wasn't a terrorist that was going to kill the president. But now we have Snoop Dogg killing the president. We have, you know, we have all these celebrities talking about it, blowing up the White House,
holding up severed heads of the president.
It's art.
I mean, you know, that's okay. That's okay. Now I want to go to your calls. 888-201-2244. I got Stefan. I got Chaplain, and Dan the Man, which we're going to go to in 1 second. But first, I want to tell you about the massive Christmas savings at InfoWarsStore.com. This week, we're celebrating Christmas week as the chance to get your gifts, a lot of which are 50% off. And you can put your orders in now and you can get them before Christmas, put them in the stocking, put them under the tree, whatever you like to do. So we have CellForce, which is at an introductory rate of 50% off. Experience the revolutionary new formula and overhaul your body's cellular engines. So 50% off CellForce. Also, items like BrainForce, Silver Bullet, InfoWars Life Select Foods are back on sale. Vitamin Mineral Fusion, 50% off. Also, Knockout, Survival Shield, Super Male Vitality, DNA Force, 33% off. Alpha Power, 50% off. And Prostaguard, 50% off. Now, all of this is leading up to the InfoWars.com Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza. So all this week, we're having these specials all through the weekend. And then the 34-hour live coverage, this will be our third one in the last month and a half that we've mm-hmm. been doing. So we've been hitting these. People seem to like them, so we're doing one more before the end of the year. And, I mean, if something else happens, we kind of do these as training sessions. So if something big happens, we go, oh, we're just mm-hmm. going to go into the 34-hour schedule, and we would cover the event live, mm-hmm. whatever it is, mm-hmm. and continue going. So once again, December 18th, starting at 8 a.m., ending December 19th at 6 p.m. 34 hours. You can catch all the live streams at InfoWars.com/show. It's the InfoWars Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza. And don't forget to check out the great deals at InfoWarsStore.com. It is your support that allows us to continue doing what we're doing and expand in the face of all this censorship and globalist tyranny that we're experiencing now. So with that, let's go to our first call. Let's go to Stefan in Colorado. Let's talk about the Alabama Senate race. Go ahead, Stefan.
What's up, man? How you guys doing?
Doing great. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for everything you guys do. First of all, and I want to say I've got the Super Male Vitality, and it's an amazing product, and I suggest it to anybody. So it's pretty funny how when these people, you know, way more, when they start doing really well, and in their polls, and they start, you know, time starts getting really close to the election, that all of a sudden sex allegations come to the surface. And you guys covered it earlier today, how, you know, Alex Jones was talking about how, you know, everything's fine, everything is quiet until somebody starts doing really well in the polls, and then all of a sudden people come out of nowhere and they want to be in the spotlight and start accusing people of sex allegations. And one thing I wanted to bring to light is that it's very funny how this happened, but when Barack Obama was running for president, Francis St. Clair came out and talked about his experiment with Barack Obama, and he ended up dead. So,
yeah, I believe he said he was snorting coke and having oral sex with President Obama in a limo. I believe that was one of the allegations.
Doing crack and blowjobs, man. And
there was no Me Too at that time, so we couldn't listen to him. Basically, what you're watching now is an amazingly huge PSYOP operation. So the Democrats looked at who their sacrificial lambs were and said, okay, we can sacrifice this guy. We can sacrifice this guy. Oh, Conyers, Franken, we can get them out because we know we're going to win their seats. That's Detroit and I think Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Where those guys are. So we can win those seats back. So these aren't a loss. These guys, you know, Conyers is old anyway. Franken, you know, he's not doing what we thought he was going to do. He's not really the lion of the Senate, as how he referred to himself in a book. But now they've put this out. We've got Weinstein. We've got all these other people coming out. We've got real allegations coming out that are backed by numerous witnesses. And then you have these old allegations surfacing from years ago where if Roy Moore was really doing this, you would have thought that this would have come out a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it would have come out in the runoff too between him and Luther Strange. Nothing at the time.
Well, because the people that are saying that he did this to him say they voted for President Trump. So they obviously the idea is that they're not doing this for political purposes. They just don't want this guy in power.
Yeah.
So they very easily could have done it with Luther Strange. They could have said, no, we want a Republican that we want because we don't want Roy Moore, the Republican candidate. So it makes even less sense that they didn't come out and do it during the primary.
It's like, let's wait till he gets in and he's the nominee and then we'll start.
Right.
So it's very fishy. There's each one of these people that have brought allegations up against Roy Moore have, you know, he's dismissed them. Here's the difference. Conyers admits to doing wrongdoing. Franken admits to doing wrongdoing. There's photographic evidence of him groping a lady.
Mm-hmm.
And so Roy Moore's flat out said, no, I don't believe any of this. None of this happened to me. I don't know any of these women. So it's very interesting how this comes out now.
That's what innocent people do. Innocent people say, I didn't do that. Whereas the guilty say, I remember it differently.
Yeah.
But I'll step down for the people of Minnesota.
Yeah.
Some people are saying
Franken should stay at this point because, he hasn't had his due process. Hey, let's have an investigation.
Yeah.
Maybe he's afraid of investigation. If we're going to investigate Roy Moore before he's even in the Senate, let's investigate Al Franken. Let's investigate some of these other senators and other Republicans. We already know there's a slush fund that was created to pay off people and keep them silent. Let's investigate those people. If we're going to start investigating, let's investigate real things that happened, real money that's been paid out. Let's start investigating that first before we start going, everybody else has thrown out allegations. Let's throw an investigation on them. Thanks for the call, Stefan. Let's go to Chaplain Brucey Lee from North Carolina. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I just want to talk about Roy Moore a little bit. They don't like him because he cares about the family.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't. They don't like him for that. And that's why, you know, when he had the Ten Commandments there, they took the Ten Commandments down. Anybody that stands for the family or Jesus Christ, which I'm going to use straight up, they coming against us.
We got to get a baby killer in there. We want Doug Jones, a creepy looking baby killer who's pro-abortion.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, I don't know if Roy's going to win. I hope he does because we need some people in there that's going to do some changes in this country. Donald's doing his best. You know that, and I know that. Donald Trump is doing his best to change some things. But all these people that keep opposing him, and I don't know their insides, but what did they say, domestic? I don't know how that law was when I was in the military back in Vietnam. I'm 71 years old.
Hold on. We're going to be right back after this break. You're watching The War Room, Infowars.com/show or the free streams you can send out to everybody you know.
This is the return of the Republic. And this is The War Room with Owen Schroyer
and Roger Stone.
Welcome back to the War Room. This is the second hour, and we're going to finish up with the calls that we started taking in the last segment. Don't forget, our live coverage of the Alabama Senate race will be tonight, we'll probably start around 6. I think Alex Jones will take the chair around 6:30, and he's going to have a very special guest. I'm not allowed to say who the special guest is. It is not a person, though.
Oh, it's not a person.
I'll say that, I guess.
Speaking of the race, this picture of Doug Jones behind me, I was looking at it. He looks a little bit like Grimace. Is that the name? The purple
McDonald's. Yeah, yeah. I was thinking more. You put a butcher's robe on him, covered with blood, and give him a meat cleaver, and he looks like a type of serial killer.
Yeah, but, that too.
You know, I don't want to judge
shark eyes.
Who am I to judge? Mm-hmm. I'm just a dude. All right, let's finish up with Chaplin back in North Carolina. Go ahead and finish your point, sir.
Hey, brother. You really made me happy when you were talking about putting him in a butcher's outfit, murdering little babies.
Yeah, that's kind of what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all of them. I don't know what the problem is. Well, I do know what the problem is. They're mentally deranged. And, you know, I buy at what I can afford, Alex's, the products that you have, you know. Mm-hmm. The B12 and different things. And every one of them is excellent. If you want to laugh, if all the people want to laugh, and here, I lost my bottle of B12. I don't know what happened to it. It was in my car, because I keep stuff in my car, too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it just disappeared. I don't know if somebody took it or what.
Now you let somebody have a taste. That silver, the B12 is really good. That's some good stuff.
Yeah, I buy them, and it's really, you know, like I said about Roy Moore, they don't love us. They really don't. They want to kill the babies. I always put you see it. You can watch the live chat. 80 million babies plus, because mm-hmm. we don't know the ones that's not recorded have been slaughtered by these people.
Yeah, you know who said something really interesting about abortion? And I'm going to let you go, Chaplin. It was Louis Farrakhan. We interviewed him. We were talking about, you know, his stance on abortion. And he said, the cure for cancer, the cure for everything that ails us, our future is inside a woman's womb. Mm-hmm. So when we go out and we kill that baby and put him under the knife like that, we're killing the chance for a cure for cancer or for the betterment of our future, because that is where the next leader is going to be. That's where the next scientist is going to be. And I never looked at it like that. I mean, I was always, you know, very pro-life, but after looking at it like that, I'm like, you know what? That makes sense, because we don't know where that person's going to come from. Yeah. We don't know what they're going to look like, what their socioeconomic background is going to be. But we do know if we kill that, we're never going to have a cure for cancer or, you know, maybe the next form of space travel. We don't know. Thanks for calling. From North Carolina, let's go to Dan the Man in Canada. Go ahead, Dan.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. I can hear you.
Hey, how you doing, Rob?
I'm doing great. What's it like in Canada right now?
Well, I live in a small town called Annapolis Royal. It's in Nova Scotia. Do you know where Nova Scotia is?
Yeah.
Well, yesterday we had all day snow. Today, it's not too bad. Okay, I'll get to my question or my...
Oof. We have less than a minute.
Okay, here we go. Okay, don't you find... Hey, Jake, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good. How you doing, Dan?
Just wanted to say, this whole thing about coming out about Trump and these women coming forward, we know they're all paid by the Democrats. They're, you know, they're not legit. But don't you find, I find myself that it's like we're watching like a rerun. Yeah. From way back when it was like candidate Trump.
It's the Trump rotation.
Women. Yeah. Yeah, it's like a...
This is a Russian dance.
They're running out of it. They got to recycle...
They're like, what's next on the list? Oh, let's bring out the women again. All right. And then it's going to be, he's unfit to serve. He drinks Diet Coke. We're going to have more. Thanks for calling, Dan from Canada. We'll be right back in Forbes.com/show.
Is the War Room.
Welcome back. You're at the War Room, and I'm broadcasting, joining my colleague Rob Dew from our new New York bureau. It is all eyes turned toward Alabama, as the callers have indicated. And many of the InfoWarriors are confused about the spate of late polls. Having spent 40 years in the vineyards in American politics, I urge all of our listeners to take all polling with a certain grain of salt. Polling can be affected by the sample size, the formulation of the questions, the order of the questions, and so on. And therefore, no two polls are equal, and it is very hard to say exactly what turnout will look like. So all polls have to be viewed with a certain level of skepticism. I think most of you remember that the polls showed at the end of the presidential campaign that President Trump lagged in almost all of them. That's because the pollsters, in some cases honestly and in other cases dishonestly, were mis-sampling who would actually vote. So today, in my view, is probably a toss-up with perhaps a slight edge to Judge Moore, given the historical trend and history of the state. Also in the news, incredibly, is this charge by former Governor Arnie Carlson of Minnesota that Al Franken should stay in the U.S. Senate because of allegations that Roger Stone, yours truly, coached Leanne Tweeden, the very first of six, or is it seven, women who have come forward to accuse Franken of sexual assault. Since I am no longer on Twitter, where I had 300,000 followers, I'm like a man with one arm tied behind his back, forcing me to take to Facebook and Instagram and Reddit and other social media outlets to correct the record. Just to be very clear, a message for Governor Carlson, for whom, by the way, I have a very high regard. I think you've been pranked. I have never met Leanne Tweeden. I have never communicated in any way with Leanne Tweeden. I have never spoken to Leanne Tweeden. I have not spoken to anyone around Leanne Tweeden. The supposition put forward by actor Tom Arnold that I somehow coordinated with a co-worker of hers, John Phillips of KABC Radio in Los Angeles, is completely and totally false. Just because I've appeared on Phillips' radio show a number of times and also hold him in high regard does not mean that he is my source. In fact, I will go so far as to say he is most definitely not my source. To further clarify this, let me say that my source is at Fox News in New York. Just because I broke this story 6 hours ahead of the mainstream media, InfoWars, Tomorrow's News Today, does not mean that I am in any way the source of this story. My only involvement is as a journalist, reporting it for you right here at InfoWars, and also shortly in the same time frame for Big League Politics. They have graciously allowed me to post on their Twitter feed when there are matters of great importance.
So, and Roger, if I could jump in 1 second. Roger, let me jump in 1 second. You got Tom Arnold attacking you. This guy is essentially a gold digger, no career, kind of a hack who kind of glommed onto Roseanne back in the 90s. And now he's going around telling people where you like to eat and telling them they should go and confront you there. I mean, he's literally
really
inviting people. It's unbelievable, and you're not even telling people this. It's unbelievable. You got a guy kind of stalky, cyber stalking you, essentially.
Well, and I was having lunch with two friends, one an African American and one a Caucasian. He called my friends Ebony and Ivy. I think that's a racist. Yeah, it's very, very weird. But to tell you the truth, Rob, I think he's trying to promote ticket sales for a gig he has at the Comedy Store on Sunset Boulevard. They're probably not selling too briskly given the status of his career.
I would agree. And that sort of follows what Michael Moore's Broadway show did. Made less than half of what it could have made. 50% less ticket sales. So there was 50% seats open every show, essentially. Totally.
Now, I will say this. To their credit, when I contacted the Minneapolis Star Tribune, they did add my denials to their story. But once the horse is out of the barn, it's very hard. If you go online now, you'll find dozens of copycat stories in which the good governor says that Franken should stay in office because of allegations that Stone coached his victim. Just to be clear, I have never met Miss Tweeden and I never communicated with her in any way. I had a very good source and I reported it here first at InfoWars.
That's right. And I also got the news as well and tweeted it out right around the time you did. And because I trust my sources, unlike CNN, I shouldn't be trusting theirs.
Now is probably not a bad time to mention that if you like what we're doing here at the War Room, and if you like our expansion, if you like the broadcast yesterday from our new Miami Bureau or our new New York Bureau where I am today, please go to the InfoWars store. Go to the website store where we have extraordinary specials for Christmas. My all-time favorite, Brain Force Plus at 50% off. Buy a case of this and send it to your favorite libtard. They need it. I can tell you that I find this product to be most effective in terms of giving you both mental energy and clarity. And in all honesty, given the many hours we put in here at InfoWars, the War Room broadcast would probably not be as lively as it is without popping a couple of Brain Force Plus capsules. And this price at $19.95 is a $20 saving. This is a 4.5-star, a little better, reviewed product and symptomatic of the great savings available on the InfoWars.com store. Another favorite in the Stone household is the fluoride-free Super Blue line of oral products, toothpaste, mouthwash, and so on. These are far, far superior to anything you can find in your local drugstore. And the difference between buying at CVS and Walgreens and buying with InfoWars is you will be supporting the counter revolution or the revolution, as it were. We are the tip of the spear. And if you like our expansion here at InfoWars, please do your Christmas shopping at the InfoWars site store. It is the very, very best of the best. Alex Jones does not put up anything for sale that isn't rigorously tested and the best of its genre. And if you want to give a particularly good present, my book, The Making of the President, How Donald Trump Orchestrated an American Revolution, is available on the website now. Rob?
And Roger, talking about the long hours we put in, we do 10 hours a day normally. But today, we're going to do probably 14 or 15 hours live, going all the way up to 10 p.m., starting at 8 a.m. with Real News with David Knight, then going into the Alex Jones Show, and here you are now at the War Room. Well, after this, we're going to do our special coverage of the Alabama Senate race, Roy Vore versus Dougie Jones. And I just said, well, I'm going to leave my thoughts about Doug Jones on the floor there and just let you know tonight, starting up right at the end of this, we're going to be picking it up on the other studio with Alex Jones and a special guest. I'm sure Roger will also be popping in with his analysis and information. And we will be back, I guess, in the next segment. Do you want to start taking some of these calls that we still have on here, Roger, or did you have a guest?
That's a great idea, Rob. Let's go to the call board.
We're going to go to Frank in Nevada first because he wants to talk about voting. We also have Nick and Reese in Texas as well. So we got a lot more callers. If you want to join in, 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. You got Rob Dewey, you got Roger Stone. We're both going to be answering your questions on the other side of this short break. Don't forget to go to InfoWarsStore.com and check out the great products that we do have. Thanks for watching. InfoWars. InfoWars.com/show. Almost ran out of breath.
Welcome back. You're at the right place. That's right. It's the War Room with your hosts this evening, Roger Stone and Rob Dew. Rob, let's go to the call board. This is one of my favorite aspects of InfoWars when we have a dialogue with the InfoWarriors. Who do we have on deck?
Exactly. From all over the United States and all over the world. Before we do that, though, I just want to show this little tweet from Kristen Gillibrand, who's saying President Trump should resign, but of course he won't hold himself accountable. Therefore, Congress should investigate the multiple sexual harassment and assault allegations against him. Oh, and look what the good tweeters out there started tweeting back to her. Oh, here she is with Bill Clinton, a rapist. And here she is again. And, oh, Harvey Weinstein. Where's that hand, Harvey? Where is it? Anything for the money, right, Kristen? It only depends on which side of the aisle the sexual assaulter is when you go after them. So with that, let's go to Frank in Nevada. Frank, how are you doing today?
You guys are the most awesome. I want to just plug my little brother's band called the Deplorable Rock and Roll Band. Look it up on YouTube. They got a song called Hillary, You're Killing Me, and then another song, the CNN News Blues. Okay, huge news. There's a company called Switch. Wiki has got that on it. Switch, parentheses, company. It's the largest computer, supercomputer system. They got several facilities, and what they make Google and Microsoft look like nothing, and they're literally bigger than the NSA. They need to be exposed, and also Rob Roy needs to be brought to a trial because he bought an old Enron property, and nobody else was told about it, so that's insider trading. There's the globalist headquarters for data is in Nevada. Switch, you're busted. The other thing, as far as voting is concerned, I want made in America voting machines. No more Manila crap. No more foreign made voting machines. Made in USA voting machines before next presidential election. Mm-hmm. Next thing, we want freestanding voting machines with no Wi-Fi connection. And then third, I want a receipt from my vote, just like a pack of cigarettes or a roll of toilet paper. I want a receipt. So ask the president, please, let's make a bunch of voting machines made in the USA, no Wi-Fi connections, and a receipt. And the largest data control center and artificial intelligence manufacturing facility is in Nevada. The globalists are set up. It's a fact.
Because there's a great place to get a lot of money.
Well, the problem is that Soros and everybody's planted, they have about 10 facilities. And they're disguising it as an energy company, but it's the supercomputer. They stored everybody's data, everything. They make Google and Microsoft look like nothing. And inside workers, whistleblowers started talking. And so it needs an investigation. And then you guys with InfoWars, we need, in every single state, we need a branch office for InfoWars. We need to start bouncing satellite feeds on our own so the Internet has no more control over us. You guys are the greatest. We love you. God bless you. Have a happy holiday.
Well, thank you, Frank. And I would like to add to that paper trail. Also, you need to have an ID to vote because you need an ID to buy a pack of cigarettes or get on an airplane or drive a car or check out a library book. So why not have an ID to vote when you're going to determine the future of our country? Roger?
The caller has raised a very good point, something I spoke about here on InfoWars during the last election, and that is the simplicity of hacking into these individual voting machines. They are really essentially just a primitive computer. There's a device that you can get at Best Buy or used to be able to get at Radio Shack for $15 that allows you to hack into the machines. Now, fortunately, the machines are not all connected to a central national server, in which case the abuses would be even more potential. But the entire question of voter machine manipulation as opposed to voter theft and voter fraud, a different issue, is entirely real. Yes, we need a paper trail of votes. Yes, we need greater accountability, but in these urban areas where all the machines are connected to a central server, manipulation of the machines is quite simple. The only way it can be combated or even detected is by accurate exit polling that can be compared to the machine totals. I think that the election board officials should do such exit polling to check the raw numbers against the machines.
Excellent analysis, Roger. Let's go now to Nick in Michigan. Let's talk about geoengineering. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing great.
I appreciate you taking my call on the subject. I know it's a little off topic for what you guys have been talking about today, but
no, we all breathe air, buddy.
Yeah, I guess if you could title my call, you'd want to say, what are we facing right now? I mean, catastrophic-wise, I'd say this is honestly the number one existential threat that we might be going against right now. I know a guest you had on recently, Dane Wigington, he's kind of covered it, but not much else has been said on the show. And it's kind of worrying because it's a something that we might be facing here in less than 10 years. Two of the main things were ozone depletion and intense solar radiation or intense UV. And I know we all felt that a lot lately, sun being so hot on the skin. But two readings he got had were UVB and UVC radiation, both showing up, and you're not supposed to see either of these readings on the surface. And he's with a NASA engineer, and they're saying about 6 to 8 years, we're looking at total crop loss. So that'd be no food in the stores, and that's going to hit everybody hard here if we don't look at this and act upon it. And, I mean, if we looked at it from the way of what can Trump do about it, it's almost to the point of have him send people to the Air Force bases and monitor what's going on here, because these are nationally operating planes. It's, they're operating worldwide, but they are using our air bases and landing and refueling and operating from there. But and an interesting topic I want to point out was the Paris Climate Treaty. You guys have covered a lot.
Yeah. And hey, before you continue, what website are you getting your UV information from so we can put it up on the screen for people?
Geoengineeringwatch.org.
Okay. And it's the UV what? And the UV, there's two different types of UV rays?
UVB was actually a reading he took 3 years ago, was 80%. And you're only supposed to see about 5 to 10 on the surface. And then UVC, you should be seeing about zero. You should not be seeing any of that on the surface, not getting a reading whatsoever. He's taking about 5 to 7% on that. And that's the one that sticks out right there, as everyone needs to see that as a sore thumb and realize that things are bad here. Mm-hmm. But the Paris Climate Treaty, it's just an article that was on Yahoo. I don't know if they're trying to put it out mainstream-wise, that thing is completely relying on solar radiation management and carbon dioxide removal, both geoengineering. And that's 4 degrees Celsius raised by 2100 is what the whole climate treaty is about. And that's completely, if you look in the fine print about it in the article, like I said, mainstream, I don't know if they're trying to put it out, is completely based on using those two technologies to meet that goal. And they're not proven. And if you see the skies, you see that they've gone ahead and tried to do the solar radiation management and what to do.
Exactly. Yeah, and we're about to go to break. And I'll hold you over if you want to hold over and you have more information. But a lot of that, a lot of those models that the Paris Climate Treaty is using are all based on computer models, which have, you know, just selected data inputted in. They're not really looking at all the data out there. Computer models can't predict anything. But geoengineering is a big problem, and we have talked about it in the past. Thanks for watching. We'll be right back after the short break. Infowars.com/show. You're watching The War Room.
This is the return of the Republic. And this is The War Room with Owen Schroyer
and Roger Stone
at Infowars.com/show.
You call women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs?
Only Rosie O'Donnell. And they said that wasn't politically correct. Who cares? You haven't been called.
I have the right.
Go back to Univision. I think Jeb is a nice person. He's very low energy. I'm not used to that kind of a person. Throw them out. Throw them out into the cold. Don't give them their coat. No coats.
L-Y-I-N apostrophe. Lion dead.
I have never seen a human being eat in such a disgusting fashion.
The most dishonest human beings. These people right here. Look at all the cameras.
So disgusting.
This socialist slash communist, crazy Bernie, he's crazy as a bed bug.
Who, Pocahontas?
The Indian.
Very offensive.
I'm sorry about that. A Pocahontas?
Crooked Hillary. Crooked Hillary, Pop. She's been crooked from the beginning. Crooked Hillary. Politicians are really dishonest. Yeah.
Donald Trump alleges that my dad was involved in assassinating JFK.
This had nothing to do with me, except I might have pointed it out.
This guy was sweating so badly.
Thank God he has really large ears, the biggest ears I've ever seen, because they were protecting him.
I'm trying to be nice. You know, I'm working hard to be nice.
He was begging for my endorsement. I could have said, Mitt, drop to your knees. He would have dropped to his knees.
He put glasses on so people will think he's smart. It just doesn't work. You know, people can see through the glasses.
I'll make 3 or 4 major speeches. She makes a speech for 15 minutes. She goes home, goes to bed.
We live off Chinese manufacturing.
That's because when you say we, you are stupid.
Repeat after me.
Donald, you're not going to be able to insult your way to the presidency. That's not going to happen.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
Tell her to tuck you in bed. And your mother is voting for Trump.
She's voting for Trump.
And there you have it. That is the promo for The Art of the Insult, a hysterical new documentary film by the filmmaker Joel Gilbert, who joins us now. Joel, welcome to The War Room. You're with Roger Stone and sitting in for my colleague Owen Schroyer, the great Rob Dew. Welcome to The War Room.
Hey, thanks for having me, Roger. Great to be back.
I see your shirt is a little more subdued today.
Yeah, I went with a straight country western rather than the American flag, but it'll be back soon.
All right. So I can't help but chuckle every time I watch that trailer because Trump is so politically incorrect and so devastatingly effective with the put down. His ability to capsulize little Marco crooked Hillary. I'm reminded when Maxine Waters actually came forward and said, oh, the Russians told Donald Trump to call her Crooked Hillary. No, Maxine, believe me, Crooked Hillary is the appellation dreamed up by Donald Trump himself.
That's correct. Trump really put on a show for, you know, 4 or 5 months. I call it the Trumpapalooza tour. He would fly in on his big airplane with maybe 2 or 3 other people and appear at these airplane hangars and put on performance art for 2 or 3 hours at a time. He would try out different routines. It was physical comedy with new names every other day. Of course, there was, you know, of course, we saw Lion Ted, Marco Rubio, Little Marco, Low Energy Jeb. John Kasich was 1 for 41. He only won one primary but refused to leave the race. Of course, Pocahontas. On and on. Elizabeth Warren tried to fight back on Twitter and usually failed. Typically, anybody that Trump gave a brand name to was out of the race within about 4 to 6 weeks. So it was an incredible approach to political campaigning that isolated and narrowed down and defined his opponents. I got an email from somebody that said, Saul Alinsky works for us now. And he really does fight. That's why people voted for him. That's why middle America fell in love with him, because they were looking for a fighter, someone who would not back down to Hillary and who would never apologize.
You know, my friends find this hard to believe when I try to explain it to them. But having known Donald Trump for almost 40 years and putting aside the question of his fearlessness and his toughness, he's one of the toughest men I have ever met. He's hysterically funny. He is fun to be with. He's self-deprecating. He's easygoing. And he has a wicked sense of humor. And you could see throughout the entire campaign that he was enjoying himself. When you looked at Jeb Bush, for example, you could see it was a guy who regarded this whole exercise as drudgery. It was kind of like, Father, Father, tell them it's my turn to be king.
Please clap.
And you could tell that he viewed campaigning as almost beneath him. You can see that Trump loves people. He loves the crowd. He is energized by the crowds. And of course, then there's his devastating wit. He is indeed the Don Rickles of American politics.
You know, no question. I thought I understood Trump. I followed Trump. I followed the campaign. I read books about him. I spoke to people who knew him, like yourself. And I thought I understood him. Only when I put the film together where you can see back to back his entire approach to the campaign from the get-go was to speak from the heart, to be very authentic, to counterpunch. If anybody attacked him, he would pretty much do away with them very quickly. And he did it in a way that was fun. He was having a great time, and he really had nothing to lose. He was doing something for the people. He didn't need to do this. He didn't need to run for president, but he believed in a mission, and the mission was make America great again, reverse the radical left agenda that Barack Obama had implemented and imposed on the American people. That's one reason people were very receptive to an outsider like Trump, because Barack Obama told everybody he's going to cut the deficit in half. Marriage is between a man and a woman and God. Obamacare is not a tax. Everything was a lie on Obama's agenda. Both his agenda was an intentional lie, and his background, of course. You've seen my other film, Dreams from My Real Father, where I showed that the Kenyan Obama was not even his real father. In fact, it was Frank Marshall Davis, the Soviet agent who raised him in Hawaii and radicalized him. So the public were fed up with the lies from Obama and the media, and Trump was authentic. He said what he said, and he meant what he said, and he had a great time doing it. And the media and really the protesters played into his hands. Protesters would show up at these rallies and try to disrupt it, but Trump would just smile and say, look over there. And he really fooled the media along with using the protesters to serve up about $2 billion in free earned media advertising. So when you watch The Art of the Insult, which you can see the trailer, it's hilarious at artoftheinsult.com, and we are shipping the DVDs every day for Christmas, you'll really understand Trump as a very authentic person who cares deeply about America and wants to achieve great things for the American people. And you can see him continuing what he was doing during the campaign. He's branded and labeled people like, of course, Kim Jong-il is Little Rocket Man. Senator Jeff Flake is Flake Jeff Flake. Frederica Wilson, you know, the wacky, called her, I think, Wacky Wilson. Of course, crying Chuck Schumer, on and on. So we're seeing
CNN is fake news. That's another one. Like, just labeling all the mainstream media fake news, I think, is just a coup de grace these last couple weeks that he's been able to attain. We're going to be right back after this short break with the filmmaker Joel Gilbert. You got Roger Stone, you got myself, you got Joel Gilbert. We'll all be right back after this short break. Infowars.com/show is the free stream to send everybody you know. We are back live on The War Room. Our guest today is Joel Gilbert. We've had him on the show many times. You may remember him from Dreams of My Real Father. Coming up in the next hour, I'm going to be interviewing Dr. Jerome Corsi, talking about the bombshell evidence that the CIA may have had a role in going in and hacking the Hawaii Department of Health before the question of the birth certificate came up. So this should be very interesting. We're going to have him on. He's got a really lengthy article on Infowars.com. But let's go back to Joel Gilbert and Roger Stone. Joel's got a new movie, Trump, Art of the Insult, that is out right now. And we were just going over some of the names Trump has been giving people, like Megyn Kelly, bleeding from her wherever. Jeff Flake, Al Frankenstein, Wacky Wilson, which is Frederica Wilson, Crying Chuck, and Psycho Joe. Let's continue with that. Roger, go ahead.
Yeah, I was very disappointed when Al Franken announced that he was stepping down from the Senate, because I really thought that he was going to reach out to the Green Party candidate, Jill Stein, and ask her to run for vice president in a 2020 ticket, the Frankenstein ticket. Unfortunately, it appears that that is not to be. Joel, I have, yes, rimshot, please. I have bought this DVD for Christmas for many of the members of my friends and family. And I know they have been selling briskly since we brought them to public attention here at the InfoWars. But tell people again where they can go to get this hysterically funny film. When my wife and I watched it, we had to keep rolling it back and replaying because we were laughing so hard at the last joke that we missed the next joke.
Yeah, that's what happens. Look, the street date where it's going to be available on Amazon streaming on demand is going to be January 23rd. But only for now, you can get the DVD and have it shipped and arrive before Christmas from artoftheinsult.com. And everyone, just go check out the trailer again, read the reviews, and you can buy the DVD and we'll ship it the next day. I think it really is a great lesson in branding and marketing, as well as being hysterically funny. You can understand finally how Trump, with three guys on a giant airplane and an office with no campaign workers and a great marketing plan, was able to trump, if you will, Ted Cruz with $92 million of money. He had an office in Houston with 200 cubicles, chairman in every state, chairman in every county. And a marketing plan was able to defeat this mainstream Republican style campaign, as well as, of course, Jeb Bush and everybody else. It's just a fascinating thing. You know, Roger, that Trump was really in the entertainment business for many years. He had promoted professional boxing, owned the USFL team, pro wrestling, Miss America, Miss Universe, The Apprentice. So he had seen and done it all when it came to marketing and hype. And he was able to easily dispatch his opponents with a very few good concepts.
Hey, Joel, I got a quick question for you. At what point in the process, watching this campaign unfold and everything going on around you, did you go, I have to make a movie about this? Was it one particular insult? Was it one joke that like kind of kicked off this idea? Because, you know, Trump's only been campaigning since late 2015. You know, this had to be a new idea. It didn't just, you know, how did it pop in your head?
Look, at first, I was a Cruz supporter for much of the campaign and advised him along the way. But I would say that right from the get-go, when Megyn Kelly went after Trump at the first debate and accused him of calling women fat dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals, and he answered, only Rosie O'Donnell, and everybody laughed, I kind of felt it was over right there, because he showed that he had quick wit, he was good at counterpunching, and people appreciated his humor. You know, a week later, he told Jorge Ramos from Univision, you know, go back to Univision, and didn't apologize. So I kind of felt that it was probably over right there, that Trump would capture the hearts of America because he was such a fighter.
Excellent.
Well, and that's why I said this has got to be a movie. The fact that he came back with that rejoinder for Megyn Kelly demonstrates his fearlessness. A career politician would have retreated. A career politician would have apologized or tried to clarify. For Trump, there was no such road. He is entirely fearless. And from the beginning, he believed that the American people were ready for something different, that they were tired of the career politicians. They were tired of the wet finger in the wind brand of Republican politics, where people sought to run to the polls or the focus groups to find what to say in order to be popular. I think even when he made errors, even when he was incorrect, I think voters appreciated the fact that he was authentic, that he was genuine, that he wasn't trying to be somebody he isn't. He is, I must tell you, exactly the same in private as he is in public. There is only one Donald Trump, and you can tell he's having the time of his life.
I think it was obvious. I think something interesting that happened way back, I know Trump had been watching the presidential races even since 2000, I think, when you helped him to run for the Reform Party nomination for president some years back. He continually watched the presidential race. I had been to CPAC year after year, and Trump always would come and speak, and you could tell that he wanted to be part of the process when the time was right for him. I would say that the public was ready for an outsider. And Ted Cruz really, at first, was the anti-establishment hero. He was the one that stood up to Obamacare, the filibuster. He read Green Eggs and Ham from the Senate floor. But when it came to putting the campaign together, I even told him, just be Ted Cruz, the outsider, the rebel. You know, Mr. Cruz goes to Washington. But instead, Cruz went to a mainstream campaign direction and tried to show that he was more mainstream. So I think Trump came along and took up that space that Cruz had initially occupied and basically said, oh, if you don't want to be Ted Cruz, I'll be Ted Cruz. And he took the idea and ran with it, and people responded very favorably. The Republican establishment was way far to the left of the grassroots. The grassroots had moved very far to the right by the time the election started, and nobody understood it except for Trump. And I think when you watch The Art of the Insult, that will bear itself out.
One of the more incredible things about Trump's victory, something I wrote about extensively in the Making of the President 2016, is the fact that he didn't spend a fortune on polls. To my knowledge, in the nomination phase of the campaign, he didn't take any polls, which is unheard of. That means that he was operating solely on his gut, on his instinct. The Bush campaign, for example, even the Cruz campaign, spent a small fortune on sophisticated public opinion polling to help them shape their message. I think it makes the president's accomplishment and winning the greatest upset in American political history, even the more incredible, unpredictable, unlikely, and phenomenal. This is a man who was completely attuned with the voters without any of the traditional accoutrements of a campaign. He won without polling. He won without paid television advertising. He won without an avalanche of sophisticated targeted direct mail. It was really the Donald Trump show. Donald Trump has no strategist. Donald Trump is his own strategist. There is no Karl Rove in Trump land. It is him, and all credit belongs to him. His survival instinct is extraordinary, and he is a fighter. So, Joel Gilbert, thanks for joining us here on the War Room with my co-host, Rob Dew. And I urge you to pick up this terrific DVD for your Christmas stocking. But at the same time, folks, please do a stop by at the InfoWars store where we have extraordinary Christmas specials, including the entire line of super blue fluoride-free oral products, including the toothpaste, my all-time favorite, Brain Force Plus, at 50% off. An entire host of First Amendment-oriented T-shirts, including the anti-fascist, anti-communist T-shirt, my favorite. These make terrific Christmas gifts for the members of your family who are patriots or free-thinking libertarians. You help yourself, but you help us expand this coverage. Special coverage tonight on the special election in Alabama with Alex Jones. I hope to be popping on. Rob, final thoughts?
Well, I can't wait to see the results of this race. I think the Alabama people are going to do the right thing. So stay tuned tonight. Infowars.com/show. Special coverage starts right at the end of War Room. So thank you, Joel, for joining us, and we'll see you just on the other side of this break.
If you want the future, you must fight for it.
This
is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Just had to make sure I was live right there. I kind of jumped the gun on them. They said we're live yet, but we're live right now, and you're watching The War Room, Infowars.com/show. Now, coming up next segment, we're going to have Dr. Jerome Corsi on talking about the bombshell evidence that the CIA may have had a role in forging Obama's birth certificate. And I'm going to have the guys pull up an old video I did with Alex Jones the day that this birth certificate came out, and we looked at it on a couple different software programs. We were able to extrapolate different layers out of it. Well, if it was a true birth certificate, how would you be able to do that? And in fact, during this break, I'm going to come show the guys a couple things. But, you know, everybody's calling Trump Hitler over and over again. Trump's Hitler. You go to these protests. Oh, he's literally Hitler. He's literally Hitler. There I am with the ponytail. If you're watching on Infowars.com/show. Well, now we have Obama calling Trump literally Hitler. Here's the video from John Bowne.
Ironically, the slave trade continues in Libya as a direct result of the policies of America's first black president, Barack Obama. CNN released a video documenting human rights violations in Libya, revealing a Libyan slave trade where migrants are sold for, on average, from $200 to $400 in slave auctions. And now on Capitol Hill, after the smoke is cleared, all anyone can do is shrug their shoulders.
There's some very interesting and positive developments in North Africa with respect to international cooperation, because this is a part of the world where the impact of the terrorism, of the migration flows, of the smuggling is felt very keenly by Europe.
Ali is from Sudan. 3 years ago, he fled by foot and by bus to Libya. Though it has a UN-recognized government, since the fall of Muammar Gaddafi in 2011, Libya has become a failed state divided by rival militias. Like many other migrants, Ali was arrested and detained for 7 months by a militia that demanded money for his release.
If you pay, they will release you. If you don't, they will start beating you.
I've done deep research on Africa. I've done deep research on the all-encompassing geopolitical tectonic shifts that have taken place in the last few centuries. And undoubtedly, there is a global proxy war going on in Asia, the Middle East, Central Asia, of course, Eastern Europe, Africa, Latin America. There are mercenaries, the bankers call them jackals, all over the world assassinating and killing people 24-7 that won't give in to the big six mega banks and their fractional reserve banking derivatives fraud machine. And it's very frustrating to see the 5% of people, and that's about what they were, on the videos I shot over the weekend that have had together over 1 million views on YouTube alone, where I point out that an Africa-wide invasion is ongoing and that massive escalations in it is imminent. And I laid out in those videos exactly what would happen, exactly what would be pushed. And I called Angelina Jolie out as a war criminal who should be arrested. The problem is the UN does that war criminal arresting, and they are the biggest war criminals.
Alan J. Cooperman, associate professor at the University of Texas at Austin, told Newsweek, "When you break a state and then don't stick around to rebuild it, you create a failed state." I'm not sure the worst thing going on in Libya is the slave trade, the professor who has written several papers on Libya said. The devastation in North Africa, courtesy of President Obama and Hillary Clinton, isn't just going to fix itself, as was abundantly clear on Capitol Hill, but Obama won't let up, now comparing President Trump to Hitler, when in reality, North Africa.
Let's make talk radio great again.
This is the War Room.
Well, it was April 27th, 2011, when Barack Obama's birth certificate was released to the world, and that was going to shut everybody up. The only problem was whenever you pulled it into a computer and ran it through Adobe Illustrator and extracted the layers, which I'll demonstrate what we did back in on that date, it changes things, pulls things out of the background, things that shouldn't be able to be done with a document like that. We put that video out. It got over 1 million views. This was something we did after the show one day. I was the, I was acting as the computer expert. Not acting, but I was. I was showing Alex how it could be done because I was amazed at it. A couple of people showed me that trick, and I said, we got to show this to Alex. So now we come, and today is December 12th, 2017. We got Jerome Corsi on the line to talk about his article, Bombshell Evidence of CIA Role in Forging Obama's Birth Certificate. Dr. Corsi, how are you today, sir?
I'm great. It's good to be with you. Thank you.
Well, let's get right into it. I mean, you're showing evidence that the Hawaii Department of Health records were hacked into several times between 2008 and 2011.
Right. This comes out of Sheriff Arpaio's research into it. Mike Zulu, who is the head of the cold case posse. And Mike's had this information for some time. It's just now, especially in light of the Arpaio pardon, I think you're going to get almost complete disclosure of what the sheriff has gotten on the birth certificate. This is CIA breaching into the records of the Hawaii Department of Health. And it begins in 2008 when Obama's running for president, and it continues right up until the time, till January, just before the birth certificate was released by the White House in April in 2011. And this comes out of the data from the whistleblower Montgomery, who brought the 47 disks out of the NSA, and it's been largely validated. And you get... we're finding that Montgomery's work is extremely accurate. Montgomery also showed widespread wiretapping or electronic surveillance of U.S. citizens, including Alex Jones and Donald Trump, for years. And here what you've got is the CIA in a pattern of breaching into the Hawaii Department of Health, also hacking into Jakarta, which is where Obama spent part of his childhood. And evidently, and I think, as we put the whole story together, and you'll see the whole story, it was very clear that there was no Obama legitimate birth certificate in Hawaii, and the CIA was on the process of either searching for one that existed or getting ready to forge the one that was ultimately released.
That's right. And if you look, go to the article... there's a section that says CIA breaches Hawaii government computers and Obama birth certificate quest. Sheriff Arpaio and Chief Investigator Zulu have identified in the database the following breaches. And you have 8 different breaches that were made by IP addresses traced back to the CIA. And some of these, as you have it outlined all in your article, they trace the IP data paths through servers located in Jakarta, Indonesia, that were also being run by the CIA at the time those breaches were executed.
Yeah, I mean, the real database, the actual data that Montgomery used was very, very detailed. Of course, you know, I'm reporting what Mike Zulu released to me, and this is kind of a top-level summary, so that we're not releasing anything that was a security-qualified or classified information. But what's clear is, and I think if you put the whole article together, that when Montgomery first brought this to our attention, it was, as Mike Zulu says, kind of a universe-shattering discovery. Because when we coupled it with other information that we had, it was very clear that we were right that there was no birth certificate in Hawaii that was legitimate. I mean, going back to the very beginning, going back to 2008 when I was in Hawaii, beginning the investigations before Obama had been elected, I was told by hospital administrators that would not go on the record that there had been an extensive search in Hawaii for which hospital had Obama's birth records. And no hospital had any birth records for Ann Dunham, the mother, or Barack Obama. That's what really started me off on this, is I realized I had legitimate information from the very beginning that the hospital administrators could not find any legitimate Obama birth certificate record. And to this day, we have seen nothing from 1991, the year of Obama's birth, that is a legitimate, provable record from Hawaii. And now we have these CIA breaches, which I think make it very clear that the CIA was in the process of looking for the birth certificate and ultimately forging it.
And so they would have known that, hey, this is our guy. We want to get him in. And it makes sense that it would be the CIA, because Ann Dunham's father was a CIA agent working for the CIA as a furniture salesman. And then also his purported father isn't Barack Obama Sr. It was a pornographer who lived in Hawaii at the time who has pictures of naked Ann Dunham in his house. So there's all types.
Marshall Davis. That was all the work that Joel Gilbert did and produced, Dreams by Real Father DVD. And for a long time, Obama was in Hawaii saying that he thought Frank Marshall Davis was his father. I mean, there's good evidence for this as well.
Right. And yeah, he was spending summers with a man named Frank, and he wrote in his book.
In his book, it was ultimately revealed in 2008 that that was Frank Marshall Davis, who was a black author from Chicago who was a communist and was in Hawaii and wrote a pornographic book about trolling with women on the beach and having all these sexual affairs. And, you know, Barack Obama for a long time himself, I think, believed that Frank Marshall Davis was his legitimate father. And I don't think there's any proof that the Kenyan Barack Obama had anything to do with Ann Dunham. They weren't living together. The records from the Immigration Naturalization Service said that they didn't believe that he was the father. They were going to contest that if Frank Marshall Davis used that information. I mean, I'm sorry, if Barack Obama, the Kenyan, used that information to try to get his visa extended. And, you know, we, as you read this article, you know, we had excellent information that the searches, including by Governor Abercrombie, that were made in this vault in the Hawaii Department of Health generated no birth records, even though, you know, Abercrombie promised everybody that he was going to get Obama's real birth certificate. And, you know, we'd been tipped off that the birth certificate was going to get forged, and we were told exactly how it was going to get forged. That it was, you know, a doctor was going to be someone who was dead and you weren't going to be able to find their records. The hospital was going to be Kapi'olani. We were told great detail about what was going to happen with the forgery before it happened. But here I think you can see that in this detailed article that clearly Mike Zulu, as a law enforcement investigator, was able to validate this information from Montgomery. These were CIA breaches into the Hawaii Department of Health. And I think that's pretty startling information.
That's right. And you list in there, these are, you know, known government IP addresses going by known CIA IP addresses that were used in the breach. And you list them here starting in November 14th, 2008 and going all the way to January 13th, 2011. And then we had the birth certificate get released in April, April 27th, actually. That's the day we made that video. And it's amazing. We were able to see that it was a fake and forgery right from the offset, which shows that it's hard to do these things. It's hard to go in and make these types of fakes and forgeries, even though you have, you know, the mainstream media went along with it. They didn't do any due diligence. Had Donald Trump released something like this, they would have been video after video showing what we're showing right now, the different layers being able to be removed from a so-called single layer document.
This was, you know, first what Mike Zulu did the work, and Mike Zulu is really to be credited here. He's was the principal investigator. I brought to him pretty much what you're showing right now as to how the birth certificate could be manipulated. This was the one released by the White House.
Yeah, Dr. Corsi, I'll let you finish up. We're about to go to break. We'll be right back. Infowars.com/show is the free stream you can send out to everybody you know. You're watching The War Room. Thanks for watching. Through such strong resistance. Don't forget, in less than an hour, our live election results coverage of the Alabama Senate race will kick off. We're going to start off with some special reports. Alex Jones will take the mic around 6:30, and we will be live once again. In fact, we're going to be going live from 8 a.m. to probably 10 p.m. tonight. So that is 14 hours of live coverage you're getting today. And thank you for supporting us at Infowars.com and sending out the free streams at Infowars.com/show and going to Infowarsstore.com and checking out some of the great deals. I want to finish up with Dr. Jerome Corsi, who's got the article today on Infowars.com. Bombshell, evidence of CIA role in forging Obama's birth certificate. So I guess this is my big question, Dr. Corsi, and I'd like to end it here. Where do we go from here with this information? I mean, we can't go back and say Barack Obama wasn't our president, because he was. But where do we go from here? Is this a way to kind of change at least change history the way as we see it now, or what can we do? What can we do with this information?
I want to make sure everybody understands the significance of this. First of all, the credit really goes to Mike Zulu and to Sheriff Arpaio. They're the ones who really put together this intelligence information from Dennis Montgomery and were able to validate that the IP addresses tied into the Hawaii Department of Government, the CIA, Jakarta, and coordinate all the information around the dates of the birth certificate. Now, why this is kind of an earth-shaking discovery is because it explains and shows, you know, the CIA direct involvement with Hawaii and Jakarta, Indonesia, where Obama lived, and the fact we put it together, what Mike Zulu did was put it together with other information the investigation had, namely that hospital administrators in Hawaii, prior going back to 2008, and Mike has this from two or three sources, looked to find Obama's birth records, and no hospital in Hawaii had any birth records for Barack Obama, the child, or Ann Dunham, the mother. And in the extensive investigation, which went on for years, and until now, the investigation has not been able to release this information. I mean, it's been staged. Sheriff Arpaio went through all kinds of legal difficulties. He just got a pardon from President Trump on a persistent attempt to make him guilty of a criminal misdemeanor on a charge of traffic stops being harassing Hispanics. This was Tom Perez, who's now heading the Democratic National Committee, in a really revenge prosecution because Arpaio wanted to enforce the immigration laws, which was his duty, his sworn duty. So, I mean, I really want to emphasize that this is earth-shaking information that, you know, that Sheriff Arpaio and Mike Zulu have had to sit on for years. And I think now we're going to have, with the release of this information, which Sheriff Arpaio, Mike Zulu authorized, Mike Zulu is going to have a stage on which to more completely explain things. I'm going to encourage Alex and you to get Mike Zulu on the show directly so he can really give you the background. I'm doing the reporting here in a way that allows this information to come forward, but my goal is really to set the stage for Mike Zulu to tell the story. Now,
and this
quickly,
is a big story. We've had Mike on before.
Here?
We've flown him down here, interviewed him extensively about this. And this is something that, you know, which I think is why Sheriff Arpaio made the hit list, is because he was really digging into this information. And
correct.
So thank you for putting out this article and getting with Mike and keeping the story alive, because, you know, this is a story that probably could just go by the wayside and people would just go along thinking, well, you know, it's okay that we had a president and that we don't know where he's really from, or that was an actual CIA creation, which other people have come out and said. There have been many people coming out and saying, look, Obama is a CIA creation, you know, 30, 40 years in the making. You know, here's a one-term senator comes out of nowhere and is suddenly president of the United States, supposedly going to make race relations great, yet now we have race relations that are worse than ever before. We've got people going at each other's throats over the minutest little differences between ourselves. And this is all because of Barack Obama and his, looks like a fake, bona fide fake birth certificate. So I encourage everybody to go out and check out that article, Bombshell, Evidence of CIA Role in Forging Obama's Birth Certificate, Government Computers Illegally Hacked Hawaii Department of Health. And in the article, you could see where the hacks occurred, what time and when, and where they were flown through. So we will be getting Mike Zulu on to talk about that. Thank you for joining us, Jerome Corsi. I want to try to go through these last three callers before we have our next guest up. Let's go to Reese in Texas, wants to talk about his campus experience.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes, go ahead, Reese.
Excellent. Well, I'm reporting in from North Padre Island, Texas, just right next to the beach. It's beautiful here, but it's a little bit windy, a little bit cold. Anyways, I wanted to talk real fast. First off, just on this election deal, the day that a Democrat wins an Alabama state Senate seat is the day that pigs fly. So, you know, that's my thoughts on that.
Well, I hope you're right.
Anyways, I just graduated from a small liberal arts school not too far from y'all's Austin studio. And I just wanted to say a few things on that. In that the past 3.5 years for me, I mean, more and more, just what I listen to y'all say, it's unbelievable how accurate y'all are. Just on campus, it's very strange. We talked about the Soy Boys with Paul Joseph Watson, and you know, it's very funny. I'm not really that big of a guy. I go lift some. You know, maybe I'm not taking my supplements enough. But just these people are very weird on campus. I mean, they're very strange. And it's very much, I did support President Trump openly on campus. I got death threats. I felt scared for my life. I'm not kidding you on that. I very much felt scared for my life at times. And the other thing I wanted to mention to all the viewers was I want everyone listening to this show to look up Jordan B. Peterson on YouTube, but I want you to research postmodernism. You need to learn what postmodernism is. You need to learn what it sounds like. You need to know how it's undermining our, well, Western civilization. And the last,
yeah, I had a video that I made, and I actually grabbed a Jordan Peterson clip. I think I don't know if he was doing a TED talk or something, and I can't remember the name of the video right now, but it was some intro that I put together, and I saw that Peterson clip, and yeah, a lot of people talked about him. He says some really interesting stuff.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. He's absolutely brilliant. The last thing I wanted to say here was that, you know, on campus and amongst a lot of the, I guess, elite liberal circles, you know, people who listen to Alex Jones, people who read Breitbart, everything like that, they look down on us like we're somehow inferior to them. You can feel it. I was around Yale people for a bit, man, and they had that master of the universe syndrome about them. I just want to say this. Not everyone who listens to Alex Jones is some sort of a low IQ redneck or something like that. I just got 2 degrees. I'm top 3% IQ. I'm trilingual. I'm about to get a law degree in 3 years. And I agree with Alex Jones, and I agree with everything he and y'all are doing. And I just want to say that we are just as educated as they are.
Exactly. You don't have to have a piece of paper to say I have a brain and can think for myself. I mean, I happen to have a degree, but you don't need to have a degree to be able to read a vaccine document that comes in the folded up and tells you all the bad things the vaccines can do. My guest coming up next is going to be talking about just that. Thanks for watching.
It's time to take a stand. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
So you thought the day would be ending for Infowars News Network in 27 minutes. Well, that's wrong. We're going to be going on to about 10 p.m. tonight with live coverage of the Alabama Senate race. Please join us. Infowars.com/show is the place to go to get the streams, because this will be streaming on its own streamer on YouTube. And Alex likes to think of this as instead of just one pizza pie where everybody's getting a slice and a stream, we have lots of different pizzas that people can eat from all day long. So go to Infowars.com/show. We will have a new stream going on there at the top page. And also you could go to the article that we have probably at the top talking about today's stream. I don't have it in front of me right now because I have too many papers on my desk. Now, my next guest I've known for many years, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, is one of the most outspoken physicians regarding the impact of vaccines on health. And she also runs the Tenpenny Integrative Medical Center, which I believe is still located in Cleveland, Ohio. And I want to ask people out there this question. What do Italy, France, Belarus, and Romania all have in common? Well, they're all going to be pushing mandatory vaccines. And Dr. Tenpenny, are you there?
I am. Hello, Rob. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you again. Now, I thought this was the most interesting thing of all the articles you sent me. France only has right now 3 mandatory vaccines, and they want to increase that to 11, which is a drastic contrast to what we see here in the United States.
Well, not really. I mean, it's not a drastic contrast. It's about the same. I mean, even though they're doing it on a countrywide basis, and it, of course, here in the U.S., we're doing things on a statewide basis because vaccination and vaccination laws are directed by states, and it's not, as of yet, at a national level. And so we have the good fortune of having 50 states that we have to work through that system. But at any given time, as you know, they could ratchet this up to the federal level and make a federal mandate the same way that Italy, France, Belarus, Romania, those countries, and Germany, those countries already have.
Yeah, we've seen a lady here in the United States get put in jail for not wanting to vaccinate her son. And then the father went and took the boy to get vaccinated. But Belarus authorities might introduce legal punishments for vaccine noncompliance. And, you know, something you've been harping at for a long time, vaccines for adults, mandatory vaccines for adults are coming down the pike. So where do you want to pick up with all this?
Any of it, and all of it is important. I think the thing that most people forget about and they don't really talk about is the problems with vaccination with adults. And that we put a lot of focus on the kids, and because we've got all these vaccines for schools and how the states lie to people. Like here in the state of Ohio, we have a philosophical exemption, but yet every fall, all the parents get letters saying you must have these vaccines in terms of school requirements, which they aren't, which they never tell the parents that these are the recommended vaccines, but you have a right to refuse them through your philosophical exemption. And there's 18 states that have that. I mean, there's 47 states that have a religious exemption. So a lot of discussion and a lot of conversation is always around the kids and about autism and about kids in school and college requirements. We forget how many vaccines are being pumped up for the adult schedule and how many adults are actually in the VAERS database that have injuries and that become completely disabled, even died from the adult vaccines.
Yeah, that is true. And you've seen the reports of people. And what I'm finding in my research is most of this is centered around the flu shot, which the propaganda kicks into high gear around late August, early September. And you see every drugstore offering a flu shot. You see grocery stores even offering 10% off to get your flu shot, anything to get that flu shot. And what they don't report is the adverse reactions that happen. And from last year, 2015 to 2016, the increase went up over 1,000% in payouts to those injuries, which doesn't even count the actual number of injuries that have happened.
Exactly. And I went back through the CDC's data. You know, every year they have 120 or so testing centers around the U.S. So if you end up with flu-like symptoms, fever, cough, body aches, and you go into one of these testing centers, they take a throat and a nasal swab, and they send it to the CDC to be tested to see whether or not the pathogen that's making you sick is actually the influenza virus, because the influenza vaccine is only there ostensibly to protect you from getting sick from the influenza virus. Or is it some other of like the 20 some other pathogens that can give you the same types of symptoms? Well, I went back through the annualized data of the CDC. I went back 19 years. And over the last 19 years, the flu shot would fail 85% of the time, because 85% of that time, those swabs are some other pathogen besides influenza. So when we hear that the flu shot doesn't work very well this year, but get it anyways, well, the flu shot doesn't work very well any year. And so we should never be getting the flu shot. We should keep our vitamin D level up somewhere between 80 and 100. Everybody should have that tested. They should keep their vitamin C level high. You know, wash your hands, get to bed on time, stop eating all the white sugar, all the things that keep you from getting sick. The flu shot just isn't it.
And in fact, even from the government sources, they're only saying the flu vaccine is 10% effective against the dominant strain of virus circulating this year. So, and that's from the Mercury News.
When you look at that data though, Rob, and you go all the way back 19 years, the people get sick. And when they get tested, what's making them sick is the influenza virus only 15% of the time, which means over the last 19 years, the flu shot has failed to keep people from getting sick 85% of the time.
And yet they push it and push it and push it. And why don't they want to shoot straight with us? Why does the health community insistent on pushing these on people? And now it's even gone up. Oh, now we got to give them to pregnant women. And they try to hide the studies where they say, oh, women who are getting the flu shot are having stillbirths. I mean, go into that.
Yeah, I don't know what the, you know, I've often wondered, you know, what else is in there? I mean, we know what's on the package, what's on the package insert. We know that the multi-dose flu shots still have full doses of mercury. We know that there's stray viruses in there that under certain conditions can activate genes that can lead to breast cancer. We know all these things. I've written about it for years. I've written a lot of papers about it. But I've often wondered what else is in there that they are just so determined that everyone should have this from 6-month-old babies every year for the rest of their life. What you mentioned about flu shots and pregnant women, it's not just flu shots that they're now pushing on pregnant women. It's the DTaP vaccine, the pertussis vaccine that they want women to get it with every single pregnancy, even though the data shows that all of these people getting these teen and adult pertussis vaccines are actually becoming chronic carriers of the pertussis bacterium, and they're spreading it all over the neighborhood. They're actually making those little tiny babies more susceptible after they've had that adult vaccine. They're pushing the adult pneumonia shot. There was a study that came out about 4 months ago that showed that the pneumonia shot, which has 23 strains of strep in it, so it's like getting 23 vaccines in one single needle, more than half of them never even develop an antibody. And it's the first time they've ever tested it, even though we've been using the pneumonia shot since about the 1940s, and tetanus shots, and now the shingles vaccine. And so all of these things are ramping up against senior citizens. In fact, I just wrote an article, a little commentary today, that there was an article that came out that said that the annual wellness visit for Medicare patients has become the single biggest opportunity to vaccinate for flu shots and pneumonia shots. And the senior citizens, which are people in Medicare, 65 years of age and older, are the group of people that grew up on Marcus Welby and Ben Casey and Medical Center and General Hospital and all of these things. And they grew up saying, doctor knows best, and you got to trust your doctor. And so they are easily swayed into getting one of these vaccines, even if they've had a personal adverse event, or perhaps they've seen one of their children or grandchildren get horribly sick from one of these shots. And so Medicare, with their annual visit that Medicare will pay for it for free, is now becoming the next opportunity to vaccinate.
The place for the pushers to push more vaccines on you. We're going to be back one more segment with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I'm going to share with everybody a little shingles vaccine story that happened in my family. You're going to be amazed when you hear this. Stay tuned, Infowars.com/show. Segment of today's edition of The War Room. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Normally, Owen Schroyer is sitting in, but he sat in, did the Alex Jones show this morning. Alex was taking care of some office business. My guest is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and we're going to go to her in 1 second. I just want to remind everybody, right at the conclusion of The War Room, we'll be starting our live election results coverage of the Alabama Senate race at Infowars.com/show. Infowars.com/show is where you need to go and send that link out to everyone you know. Now, also, before we get back to Dr. Tenpenny, I just want to remind everybody, the only way we are able to do what we do is because of your support out there. It's by people going on, that's the totally wrong graphic. Please remove that. I don't know what you have up there. That was last. Don't worry about putting anything else up. The only way we're able to do everything we do here, that just highlighted what we have. We are short-staffed. We had to send somebody over to the other side to get ready for the live stream there. And so by doing that, it kind of changed things up. Let me just let you know where you can go. InfoWarsStore.com. We have amazing specials right now. 50% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion. 50% off Brain Force. 50% off Silver Bullet and InfoWars Life Select Survival Foods. 50% off Knockout Survival Shield Iodine, which Dr. Tenpenny is an expert on health for using iodine for disease. I'll let her talk about that in a little bit. Supermel Vitality, 50% off. Alpha Power, Introductory, 50% off offer. And Prostaguard, 50% off. So many deals. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. It's how we're able to continue doing what we're doing. Now, Dr. Tenpenny, my father got the shingles vaccine a couple years ago. And I heard that ends up making you susceptible to getting shingles or more likely to have a breakout. He got a breakout. We're not sure how that happened. And then he ended up passing chickenpox on to one of my children, who passed it on, of course, to all the others. And that's what happened when you don't get the chickenpox vaccine, which I had when I was a kid. It was one of those five childhood diseases that are now suddenly deadly to everybody. But go through that. How does one get the shingles vaccine yet get the shingles?
Well, let's back up one step. Once you've had the chicken pox, you have a dormant virus that remains in your system. And when you've had chickenpox at the age-appropriate age of somewhere between 7 and 9 years old, you grow up with a long-term immunity, and how that long-term immunity remains intact is by you being exposed to children, grandchildren, people at work, people at church, their kids that actually have chickenpox. That maintains you as an adult, your long-term immunity. Well, since the only known host of the chickenpox virus is humans, and since the chickenpox vaccine came out in 1995, we were able to stop that transmission. That's how the chickenpox vaccine actually lowered the incidence of chickenpox out in the community, was by stopping the transmission of one person to another. So over time, over a few years, the chickenpox virus burned out and it just wasn't around much anymore. So that means you and I and your father and people that are my age and older, we no longer have the opportunity to boost our long-term immunity by being around children that are actually experiencing the chickenpox virus. So as that virus, a long-term immunity wanes, you can have this outbreak of, in adults, it's called zoster, and you end up with what is shingles, which follows a nerve root. It's extremely painful. Sometimes you can end up with something called post-herpetic neuralgia, which means that the pain lasts forever. Now, the chickenpox vaccine and the shingles vaccine, so that now what we created was, now that we no longer have the chickenpox around, now we created a shingles vaccine in order to boost up the amount of chickenpox virus in our system. So the zoster, the adult shingles vaccine, has 9 times more live virus in it than the chickenpox vaccine does. So the chickenpox vaccine can shed live virus, and kids around them can contract a vaccine strain chickenpox from the chickenpox vaccine. And adults that get the shingles vaccine can shed that live virus to other people, like your child, and then send it, and then share it to other people. It's not the same strain. It's an attenuated strain, but it's still a live virus. So it's not the same as the chickenpox that you and I got as a kid. So we really don't know how long the immunity is supposed to last. But the chickenpox vaccine and the adult shingles vaccine can both shed live viruses.
Isn't that amazing? And there's other vaccines, too, that they say the measles, mumps, and rubella could give you measles, mumps, or rubella. Are those types of symptoms, which I guess would be the equivalent of having measles, mumps, or rubella. Now, I want to jump to you talk about using iodine for women's breast health. And yep. There's a big prevalence of breast cancer in our country. Why don't you go into that a little bit?
Well, iodine is one of those other topics that's probably, I know almost as well about iodine metabolism and how you use it as I have know about vaccines. You know, I've been studying problems associated with vaccines for 17 and a half years now, and I actually even created a course that's called Mastering Vaccine Info. And if you go to masteringvaccineinfo.com, you can get put on our waiting list for the course enrollment that opens again. And while I was also learning about vaccines, I learned about iodine. And I read a paper that was published in 2004 that said that in areas of the breast duct that is iodine deficient, those breast ducts are more susceptible to the adverse effects of estrogen floating around in your body. So what that actually means in simple terms is that areas of the breast that are iodine deficient have an increased risk of developing breast cancer because of the susceptibility of estrogen. And so using iodine for breast health, for prostate health in men, it's one of the most important nutrients that you can take as a pregnant woman, and particularly after the baby's born, because the iodine gets taken into the breast tissue through an enzyme called lactoperoxidase. And that's the way that iodine is passed into your baby and helps to protect the baby because it's your body's natural antiseptic. So from the baby's mouth all the way through their GI tract, it keeps them healthy and avoiding pathogens in the environment. It also improves the IQ of the baby, so you can make your baby smarter by taking this product. And as the iodine gets absorbed into the breast tissue while you're actually breastfeeding, it decreases the risk of you developing breast cancer down the road.
Wow. That was like a graduate level course right there in why we need iodine. It just, you know, and they used to put it in the bread and salt, and then they took it out for a while, and they realized, hey, we're having dumb citizens. So, you know, we offer
iodine with bromine in the bread, yeah. Right?
And we've got
fluorine in the water, and we've got bromine in the bread, and that
fluoride in the water.
And chloride, and so that displaces those halogens. And I always look at it this way, Rob. It's like, you know, if you look at iodine like a basketball, and you look at the other, the fluorine, chlorine, and bromine as little tiny balls. If you get a whole bunch of balls in a jar, you can't put the basketball in. So it displaces the iodine. And so you have to like dump out the jar, take all the little things out, and replenish it with the iodine. Oh, we could talk for a really long time on the importance of iodine for prostate health. I've had quite a few men that had elevated PSAs, and when I put them on iodine, their PSA normalized. I actually had two men that were actually scheduled for surgery, and after 3 months of being on iodine, it normalized their PSA to the point where the doctor said, well, we don't need to do your surgery anymore.
That is truly amazing. And that's with a lot of health information. People don't realize that it's not all about going to a doctor and getting a prescription drug or hacking into the body and cutting things out. A lot of things can be done with herbs, eating right, the right vitamin supplements, and getting clean vitamins too, and the clean supplements out there. Where can people find out more about your work and how to get, you also offer a class in addition to about people who've been vaccine injured. And how do people learn more about that?
Well, my clinic is in Cleveland, Ohio. You were right. Thank you for putting our webpage up there for our clinic. Mm-hmm. We're located in Cleveland, Ohio. We've had patients from all 50 states and about 18 countries come and get well using nutrition and vitamins and detoxification programs and getting off their pharmaceuticals. I have what's called the Vaccine Research Library that we post a lot of things there for free. It's a membership site that we have collected nearly 10,000 articles on problems associated with vaccines over the last 5 years. And that's vaccineresearchlibrary.com. And then we have a course that's called Mastering Vaccine Info. That is, the enrollment is closed right now, but you can go to Mastering Vaccine Info and get put on our waiting list. We're anticipating opening course enrollment again sometime in March, that we go through all the different modules and train you not only about vaccine information, because we feel there's so much information out there. What we really needed to do was to draw it down into bite-sized pieces, but we also train you the language of how to use this in your everyday life.
Exactly. And the language your doctors use to try to push you into getting vaccines, because that's where the real fight is in the doctor's office. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Tenpenny. You are a wealth of knowledge, and it's good to have you out there. TenpennyIMC.com is her website where you can go to all the other great sites she has. Thanks for watching. Infowars.com/show. Live coverage starts now.